Advent. Today's a candle of joy. But I will tell you that sometimes to express joy. The God of joy. A while, but we can't. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is." Thank you for your word, for the strength, for the comfort we can find there. And today I pray that our hearts will be tuned to you, that we will be led by the Holy Spirit, and that you will do in each of our lives what only you can do. And we thank you this morning and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading last night and on the Desiring God webpage. I read that and I meditated on that last night, and I just was amazed. And something else it said is God was made low so he could raise us up to eternal life and infinite joys. Another part of that article, he said, while Jesus' mother held him, he held the moon and the stars in place. It is an incredible thing that happened at Christmas when God became flesh and dwelt among us. Robert Louis Stevenson said this, "I've been to church today and surprisingly I am not depressed." I've been to church today and surprisingly I am not depressed. Someone I read this week, I believe it was a pastor, said this, "When I was younger I thought church was punishment. I had to get all dressed up and then I had to be quiet. The people around me looked like they had lost their best friend. They didn't even seem to know how to smile or show joy. Look around. Do you see anybody like that today? People who don't seem to know how to smile or show joy in their lives? I'm not saying we have to always be smiling, but there can always be the joy of the Lord indwelling us, even in the most difficult times." Question is, did Jesus say that he came so that we would have sadness? John chapter 15, verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Psalm 16, 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your hand are pleasures forevermore." God is the source of all joy. even in conflict or struggle or times that just weigh on us and pull us down, God is still the source of joy. Daniel chapter 3, you remember the three guys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There they were, and they were thrown into the furnace. And then people looked into the furnace and said, "They're not. I thought we threw three in, there are four." And I believe that the fourth one was the Son of God. And they were having a party even when their lives were being threatened. You ever feel that way? No matter what's going on in your life, if you focus and you have that joy, you can still rejoice over what God's doing in your life. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel thrown in the lion's den. The king regretted immediately his decision. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The king was up all night, and he got there the next morning. In verse 23 of Daniel 6, it said, the king was exceedingly glad. The king was joyful over the fact that Daniel was spared from the lions. Y'all remember Paul and Silas? The first missionary team. They're hanging around, and all of a sudden, they get thrown in jail. Now, the amazing thing about Paul and Silas is it says that they were, about the midnight hour, they were doing what? Praying and singing hymns to God. Now, I'm not sure about you. I've never been in prison. Don't want to go. But at the same time, if I was in prison, if my freedoms were taken away from me, would my thoughts be to sing and pray and praise God? I would hope they would be, but I can't be sure. They prayed and they sang. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5. Sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There may be a time of difficulty, of struggle, but joy always follows. I'm always amazed by what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, the pain and the agony of hanging on the cross, and yet, looking past that, He saw the joy of us responding to the gospel. It's an incredible thing, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. When we're going through difficult times, do we focus on the joy that is coming? Or do we focus on the situation? Paul and Silas prayed and they sang. In Psalm 30, it says we need to praise and give thanks. I think that's how we approach situations, and that's how we can experience joy. We pray and we sing and we praise and we give thanks. And I think that's how we can have joy in spite of. What happens is we take the focus off our situation and start to focus on the Savior. That's important, isn't it? We take the joy off, the focus from our situation and place our focus on the Savior. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We can always count on Him. He is always there. He is always there to lift us up and to support us. And when we need Him to, He carries us along. It's not my joy is my strength. It is the joy of the Lord is my strength. Something you and I need to do in addition to singing and praying and praising and giving thanks is to remember God's promises. God promised that His joy would be our strength. God promised that He would always be with us. God promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us. God promised us that even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we don't have to be afraid because He's with us. He goes before us, He walks with us, and He comes behind us. He's a great God. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we can't experience that joy even when we are in our spirit sometimes depressed beyond measure. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And I'm thinking through these things every once in a while. You may have thought this before, but it was a new revelation for me this week. They follow one another. The first is love, right? Out of love flows joy. Out of love and joy flows peace. Out of those three flows patience. And it keeps on going down. So it begins with our love for God. Everything about joy begins with our love for God and who He is and what He wants to do in our lives. Love, joy, produced by the Holy Spirit. And I think that sometimes we need to sit back and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives. Why are we here this morning? I ask that a lot. Why are we here this morning? We're here to worship God, aren't we? Our worship should lead to joy because of our relationship with Him. Back to Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Isn't that a natural reaction? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, bang, here they came, the angels. They were filled with great fear. The one thing I think about the angels is they reflect the glory of God. And as the shepherds were looking at the angels, they saw God's glory. Not only are angels reflections of God, they are also His messengers, and they speak from God's heart. Don't be afraid. I'm here with good news. Fear not, behold, I bring you good news. You know, I think I would, if I had anything to do with this, I would translate this differently. And in my head, I probably have. Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news. I bring you great news will be for all people. It's just not good news. Imagine how the shepherds felt. All the prophecies, I'm sure they knew them. And all of a sudden, the one for whom they had waited and waited waited and waited was announced. The Messiah had come. Let me ask you this. Has the Messiah taken root in your heart? Has Jesus been born in your heart? Is He still the infant in the manger? Or is He the Savior? Took our sins upon Himself and went to the cross and suffered a horrible death and shed His blood so that our sins might be completely washed away. The Savior who rose again so that we might have the promise, the guarantee of eternal life. He announced the birth of the Messiah. Today in the city of David, prophecies were being fulfilled right before their very eyes. They'd heard them before, but now they were experiencing them. Micah 5:2 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days, in Bethlehem, the city of the king, King David." According to ancient prophecy, on a certain day in history, according to God's eternal plan, a Savior was born who is Christ the Lord. I don't think that when we read the Scripture, we ought to just gloss over this part. Christmas is familiar to us, isn't it? And every year we have preachers and teachers teaching and preaching the Christmas story. And sometimes it just gets to be word escapes me. But maybe we become too casual with it or too comfortable with it. And we fail to realize how important this is and how in the fullness of time, at just the right time, God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Good news of a great joy. When you hear it over and over and over again, is it still good news? When you hear it over and over and over again, does it still produce great joy in your life? I was talking to Wes yesterday. Wes sitting back here. Wes asked me what I was going to preach on today. I said, joy. He said, good. Because he needed to hear it. Yeah, I got to tell you, we all need to hear about joy this morning, don't we? You know, sometimes we go with these mundane jobs and people throw us under the bus and things happen in our lives and circumstances don't go very well. And we need to be able to focus on the joy of the Lord and realize the joy of the Lord is our strength. But make it personal. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And whatever comes, regardless of what it is, I can have joy because of who He is and what He's done in my life. Jesus said, my joy shall be in you so that your joy might be full. Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, I thought about things this week, as sometimes I usually do think. I really do. I thought it was God's joy to give. And it should be our joy to receive. I don't really have a parallel to this except, and this pales in comparison to what God has done for us. But you buy a gift for someone, and you have anticipation of how that gift is going to be received, don't you? And there is in you the spark of joy at giving that gift to someone. Maybe you know exactly what it is that they want. Maybe you know exactly the right time to give it to them. And your joy in anticipating their receiving that gift is part of what compels you to give. See, God's joy was in giving His Son for us. For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. It is our joy to receive Him. He's the Savior. The one who takes away the sins of the world. And not just the sins of the world. We need to focus on the fact He doesn't just take the sins of the world away. He takes my sin away. That's what's so spectacular about Christmas. The Word becoming flesh, dwelling among us so that we behold His glory. The glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Son became the Son of God so that our sins might be completely eradicated. What an amazing thing God did for us. And I think that the further we get, we're removed from the story, the more casual we get. The Savior, the one who takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for us. You know, sometimes we focus on the baby. But I don't think we ever start the story with the baby. We start with the baby in the manger, but we always finish it with the cross. It's a progression. I don't ever want us to consider the birth of the Lord without considering His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It is the same story. It is the only story that makes a difference in our lives. It is the only difference that'll make that. It's the only thing that'll make a difference in this world. I think when I was a child back in the 1800s, Christmas was a different time of the year than it seems to be right now. Everyone you passed seemed to have a smile. Everyone. Everyone greeted people with Merry Christmas. We didn't have to do the Happy Holiday thing. We did the Merry Christmas. We weren't politically correct. we were biblically correct. Now, I'm not saying that everybody was saved, because they weren't. But today, even believers are somehow cynical. We've lost the joy of Christmas. Not all of us, but some have lost the joy of Christmas. And we focus on the stuff rather than focusing on the Savior. It's not easy. Trust me, I know it's not easy to always have that joy, but it's always possible, isn't it? He's Christ. The Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is the anointed one. The one sent from God. The promised one. The long-awaited Messiah. I think the first prophecy of the Messiah is in Genesis chapter 3. All through the Old Testament, we see one prophecy after another after another. All these people of God waiting for. And I'm not sure, I'm sure that some of you know this, but there was a period of 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament where God was silent. Can you imagine waiting that long? Thousands of years waiting to experience the promise of God in the Messiah, in the person of the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, and all of a sudden the angel shows up and says, "Behold, I bring you great news of a great joy which shall be for all people." John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." The Lord. Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." And then it skips and it says, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He is the Almighty God. He is the Father of eternity. He existed from before there ever was time. He will exist forever and forever and forever. He's the Prince of Peace. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ. But I'm thinking the Almighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Jesus, the Christ of God. Philippians chapter 2. And there are some people who do not acknowledge Jesus is Lord of lords. But listen to this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Pay attention. "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Those of us who have trusted him will celebrate, and joy will flow from us as we acknowledge him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And those who have not trusted him will be forced to admit that he is who he said he is, that he is really the King, that he really is the Lord. I would rather do it in joy. How about you? Can you imagine standing before him? Imagine seeing the Lord in all his glory? Can you imagine falling at his feet in worship? It would be an incredible thing. It is far beyond our ability to comprehend. And yet, one day, we're going to have that privilege. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. He is, whether we acknowledge him or not, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let me ask you this. Is he the King in your life? Is he the Lord in your life and in mine? The last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation of John, Revelation 19:6 says this, "On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Can I tell you this? We celebrate Advent, but one thing we need to remember, he's coming again. He came the first time as Savior. He's coming the next time as Judge. We have the opportunity to receive him as Savior. We have the opportunity to experience his joy in our lives. One day, no longer be that opportunity for those who have rejected him. So how do we have this joy? We need to look at the Scripture, do some of the things that I talked about earlier. We need to quit focusing on our situation and focus on the Savior. He and he alone is the answer. He is the source of all truth. He is the comforter, the strengthener, the encourager. He and he alone is able to give us that joy through the person of the Holy Spirit. Need to pray. Even when we don't feel like it, we need to pray. We need to spend time talking with God. And I can tell you today that there are times when I don't feel like praying. I just don't feel it. Now, you may be different than me. You may be at a different world, and I'm sure that some of you are, but there are times I think that we don't feel it. And it's at those times we need it the most. Those times when we don't seem to feel it, that we need it the most. Singing. Y'all enjoy singing? No, really. Look up here. Do y'all enjoy singing? Wow. That was kind of I'm not sure about this. But there are things about singing that can reach a part of us that a word can never reach. I believe that praising God through song is a way that we are elevated into the presence of God. I think that we need to take a look at the hymns. Never, ever, ever quit singing the hymns. I don't care if you have 7,627 pastors after me. Never let them quit singing the hymns. The hymns are phenomenal relationships between the one who wrote them and God. Just go through all of them. I'll tell you, let me give you an assignment this week. In the back of your hymnal is the name Fanny Crosby. I want you to look up her life story and then take a look at all the hymns she's written. Fanny Crosby was blind from almost birth and wrote hymns about a phenomenal relationship with God. It is an incredible thing. No matter what's going on, sing. Praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise him at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then give thanks. It is difficult not to show joy when we are giving thanks to God for his blessing. We have that hymn in the hymnal, by the way. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you sat down and started listing the blessings of God? I've done a timeline on my life before, and I look back every once in a while, I think, one of the blessings that God gave me is when I was 11 years old. I didn't know God from Adam. But I asked for a Bible when I was 11 years old. That was God beginning to move in my life. I look back at other things, and there are so many things, but I remember the day I met Diane. The first time we went out, she was a blessing from God. I knew immediately I was going to marry her. I think of the birth of my children, blessings from God. I think of the way that God has provided for me even when I didn't see it coming. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Then it goes on to say, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That will help us focus on him. During the season of hope and love and joy and peace? Are we really focused on Him? A lot of cool sales going on, right? Get these flyers all the time. You get these things pop up in your email. All this stuff is going on. But you know, all this stuff is not important in relationship to our Savior. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Don't focus on whether or not you can afford to buy a gift, because I'll tell you this morning, you can afford the Savior. Is there any room in your heart for Him? Wasn't any room in the inn. But is there any room in your heart? Has He been born again in your heart? Have you been born again? Has He been born in your heart? He is the provider and fulfiller of every joy. Nothing and no one can take that away. You can surrender it, but no one can take it. No situation can drain it away from your life. Focus on the Savior and not the situation.